think they're smart, but what do they know? It's Hector and Krish, the pedestrian show.
They changed their name just for you, but what do they know? They still got sued.
The pedestrians, download Stitcher iTunes. The pedestrians, it's the one without a review.
Their friends make jokes at their expense, but the biggest laughs on the audience.
So sit right back, grab a beer, you're gonna need it, Shreether is here.
The pedestrians, download Stitcher iTunes. The pedestrians, won't you leave a review?
Hi, welcome to the Podestrian Podcast. You're listening to a new episode recorded live last January, second Friday of the month. This is recorded at Endgames Training Center North, 2081 Mission Street. It's taken Krish and I a little while to edit this episode, partly because you'll notice that one of the microphones was not working. So I apologize for the audio. Still, though, we got it out, even with the government shutdown. That's right. We weren't able to work while the government was shut down, though we're not government employees, nor do we really need to use public transit for this. But still, in solidarity, we decided to also suspend our podcasting, editing, labor. But we're still, you know, fighting the man. And guess what? We're going to be fighting the man tomorrow at Endgames Training Center North. We got a new live show, second Friday of this month, February 9th, 7 p.m. You're going to hear conversation. You're going to hear brick and brack. We're going to talk about Brita filters, and we're going to talk about peanut brittle. No, listen, it's serious, okay? We got a lot of smart people on panel. Krish, for one, is a smart person, or so he says. Shreether sounds smart. He sounds smart. I don't know what he's saying, but he sounds smart. And then we got these talented improvisers, so smart. They're always making these scenes, these make-em-ups. Yeah, come out. Come out and check it out. And don't forget to enjoy your week. All right, see you tomorrow. Thanks, bye.
Check, 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 check,
check, check, check, check.
Oh, that's beautiful. Check, check, check.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Podestrian Podcast 2018 version.
Welcome to the Podestrian Podcast 2018 version.
Oh, thank you for that clean record. you know, everyone knows that Krish and Hector and Krish. Well, Hector and Krish have been on strike.
Yes, we've been on strike.
Yeah.
We've also been crossing the picket lines of the strike.
Yeah, back and forth.
It's
sort of like it's like the Canadian border,
yes,
in terms of a
very porous.
It's very porous. It's very polite too.
Incredibly polite. Yeah.
We are on strike because management.
Yes. Namely, Krish and Hector.
Krish and Hector have not been treating us well.
No.
And you know, we talked to our friend Shreether, who is our labor employment advocate, and he told us to strike.
Yes, he did.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Wonderful, excellent.
Yeah, but today we're here. Normally we would have a show.
Yes.
The second Friday of
yes.
every month.
But thankfully, only no one actually crossed the picket lines. You know, like there's no one here except for one audience member.
Yeah, exactly. The audience have been striking. We have one solidarity. Scab in the audience.
We have one scab in the audience. But you know, we thank the audience for being in solidarity with our strike.
Oh wait, no, that's not how it works.
No.
Wait. I see what you're saying. Yes, yes. The audience, the rest of the audience, are in solidarity.
Oh yeah, the prospective audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Not.
We are now going to perform for one scab in the audience.
Yes, we are, because we're management and we.
No, we're not management. We hate management.
Oh, I keep forgetting.
Rules in this
yes.
Scenario.
I think
I get so confused. Sometimes I feel like I'm in management. Sometimes I feel like I'm a protester. Sometimes I feel like a scab.
Hey, you know, I think this is a product of capitalism that we are confused with our roles. The point is, we're always oppressed.
Yes, we're always oppressed. We are part of the system, whether we like it or not.
That's right. But you know, we're still here. We're gonna put on a show. We're not gonna try very hard.
No, because that's part of what a strike is. It's about not trying very hard.
Krish, ask me how hard I prepared for this week.
How hard did you prepare for this week, Hector?
I don't have to tell you because I'm on strike.
Oh, nice. Hey, Hector.
Oh yeah, what?
Nothing.
Okay, great. But in case anyone out there who doesn't know how this works, we normally give a little show, and we ask the audience for a suggestion of something that they like to hear us talk about, and then we'll do some improv based on it.
Yes. In fact, we won't be doing the improv ourselves. We will have a conversation, and
that's right.
We have a crew.
That's
we have
right.
a crew of people.
But before we get to there, there is one little additional thing we want to add. From here on forward, we're testing this little thing where we're going to have a Q&A session.
Yes, for our audience.
For our audience.
At the end, to ask
so
us questions.
If the audience has any comment or question that they want to ask at the very end, please think of it, and then at the very end, if you have anything to say...
Yes, if you want to ask us, you can ask us anything.
You will be uncensored. We may not support whatever feelings or thoughts that you may have, be they vulgar or legal, but you are free to say it.
Yes, you are free to say it. We support your right to say it.
That's right. And so, but without further ado...
Please give it up for Andy Feldman... Caitlin Harrington, Kat Hollander, and Joshua Love.
Aloha.
Thank you so much.
Yo.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah. So to get us started, I've not done this in a while.
Neither have I.
Sridhar, remind us what goes on.
Well, sometimes you have prizes that you give to audience members.
No,
not this week. oh, that's right. We sometimes invite our friend Sridhar onto the show.
Oh, yes. Sridhar is our guest.
Our special friend guest. Oh, all right. I'm going on strike.
It's not special if you're on every show.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's not special also even if you aren't. So.
Yeah. all right, well, what we should do is we should ask the audience member if he has a word or phrase that he thinks, he or she thinks, let me be inclusive, might prompt some funny scenes or a good conversation.
Integrity. Thank you.
Oh, you know, this really gets to the heart of, the idea of, if there is a strike, and let's just say you do have to, earn, your money, that is your only source of income.
Right, then you're torn.
You're torn between, what are my own personal interests and the interests of the collective.
Right.
Because if the strike is successful, we potentially stand to gain from that. But then, by joining the union, you've agreed to sort of take part in it. But on the other hand, you are potentially sacrificing your own self-interest for a short while in getting there.
Right.
Yeah, so, Krish, it sounds like you're saying that the choice to whether or not to go on strike is a difficult choice.
Yes.
it's not something that you would just sort of whimsically decide on. There are consequences for going on strike.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is.
But you're saying it's high risk but high reward.
Yeah, and in fact, in a sense, you're making the choice. You're making the choice when you join the union in the first place, right? Because you are pledging that you will support in whatever collective bargaining union chooses to engage in. On the other hand, it becomes like the second choice is an integrity issue, right? So if there's no integrity in the union itself. And people don't strike.
It's not a union if there's no integrity in the union.
Exactly.
I feel like we're defining a lot of words now.
Are we? I guess integrity, union, solidarity, they all have some kind of similarity in their meaning. So I guess, yeah. It's not a union unless you all act together. It's not. You don't have integrity unless you're all acting together. You don't have solidarity unless you're all acting together. That's true. But what words were you thinking we were defining?
No, well, I mean, I feel like Chris has gone through the litany of telling us what each of these
right.
mean.
But I was going to ask, so when it comes to integrity and acting for the greater good, sacrificing your own self-interest,
yeah.
because you are putting out there that it's a difficult decision for people to make, mm-hmm. are you saying, therefore, that if someone doesn't act for the greater good but considers their own personal interest instead, you're more sympathetic to them, you're not inclined to pass judgment on them as acting immorally or unethically?
See, that's interesting, because I guess I should probably commit to an answer there, but I think to an extent, the question is, do you consider, like, at what point do you, like, define something to be good versus bad? Like, where do you define your zero there? And you could say, like, the person who has integrity is someone who I might praise, but do I condemn somebody who lacks integrity?
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of sad to say, I think it depends on whether it personally affects me.
I see.
Yeah.
So I mean, like...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I think that's, to some extent, that's fair, because, I mean, I think human beings, make these economic decisions, we weigh the pros and cons.
Yeah.
I find that a horrific ethical system. The ethical system I follow is I judge actions people take on whether they affect me, so I feel like we're in direct conflict in our ethical systems.
How so?
Because he judges them on whether they affect him, and he's not me.
Oh, yeah.
Why should my ethical system be in conflict? It's just my
ethical system. Hey, guys, I feel like we can work out, like, a social contract or something where, like, we agree that, like, we try to maximize our commonalities. We try to maximize our best interest for the both of us, for all three. Well, I want to throw myself into this equation.
This union, if you
this
will.
This union, yeah. I'd like to throw myself into this union. I think we could definitely act in all three of our interests and minimize the stuff that's not advantageous for us.
Are you saying we agree to disagree? Is that you defining?
No, I'm agreeing. No. I'm saying that I feel like we should form a union. Is what I'm saying.
You want us to form a union?
Well, if I quit Destiny's Child, I could go on to become the greatest superstar the world has ever seen, but then I'll also cause the breakup of Destiny's Child.
Oh, Beyonce, I've been your spiritual advisor for a long time.
You have, Oprah.
And I have to say, I don't understand which ethical system you're subscribing to here. If you take the right hand, you make the world a better place. But if you take the left hand, you make the world a worse place. It seems there's only one choice.
Are you saying that if Destiny's Child stays together, the world will get worse?
I'm saying that if Destiny's Child stays together, we'll all be stuck in the 90s forever.
Oh, I didn't think about it that way. Well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to leave Destiny's Child.
They're going to miss you, though. You have to think about what the others will think. The
Damn
other
it.
Destiny's Child members,
that's,
individually.
That's
I was
exactly
just thinking globally.
That's exactly the dilemma I was having.
Oh, now I'm in a dilemma. Do
oh.
I care about the individuals in Destiny's Child, or do I care about the whole world?
Oprah, you're supposed to be a better advisor than this.
I have to consult Stedman. I don't know.
Stedman?
Yes.
He's actually very wise.
I agree.
Few people know that he tells you everything that you ever do.
No. No, no, it's a partnership.
We see Stedman behind Oprah whispering into her ears.
Yes, it's a partnership. That's what I'm saying.
Stedman, you rube. Anyway,
we have to get back to the issue at the core of it. Do you leave one Grammy Award-winning musical group with individuals that have thoughts, feelings, hopes, dreams?
You're leaving? But I thought it was going to be the 90s forever. Forever.
Kelly, the 90s
Six,
are over.
Five, four,
in
three,
3 seconds.
Two, one.
It's Bob.
Happy New Year!
I can feel your halo!
I think part of forming a union is like, well, what are we standing for, Hector? I mean, like, we're not Destiny's Child. We don't have, like,
I think we're standing for, like, you know, fair practices, fair fair negotiation, you know, and also we would have what is it, collective bargaining power.
You know what I never understood is that there's this thing about like there's federal protections for forming unions, but then there's also, like, under certain circumstances you're not an officially recognized union or something. But what is that even? I guess why do you need? I'm starting to express what I'm trying to say, but
why do you need federal recognition?
Yeah, exactly.
Like a collective, right?
Right.
That is weird, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. You need to file a permit to lodge a formal protest, right, with the city.
Yeah. Right? Why would you need to have some special permission to form
right.
a union?
It's odd, right? Like, isn't like there's a whole part about the right to peaceably assemble?
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And then the other thing I don't understand is that there's this business of. Like, there's laws regulating how much striking you can do, but isn't the whole point of a strike that you can go on strike whenever you want to sort of show your power to show up or not, and then the other guys can respond by however they respond. But
you're basically saying, like, oh, it's like you can do this illegal thing. Like,
why should
the
it
government
be?
Allows you.
This is what annoys me about all small government arguments, because it's like, how can you make that argument if you don't allow for collective bargaining?
Right.
Like, okay, you need to have a counterweight. You need to allow for that sort of counterweight in order for any small government proposal to work. But the folks who are advocating for small, or who claim to be or purport to advocate for it, seem to also support putting these sorts of weird restrictions.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All these small government people, they always feel like they're all so worried about powerful forces meddling in your lives, but only if those powerful forces happen to be the government. Mm-hmm. But then, in my daily life, like, the government plays a very small role in my daily life, and a very big role in my daily life is, like, large corporations also exerting power over me, or, like, my boss tells me what to do very directly in a way that the government doesn't, and all these small government types don't seem to care about that kind of tyranny exerted on me, but they have in their head that only government coercion is the only coercion, or coercion isn't even the word I want, but that's the only kind of influence of power.
Dad, I've had enough of you putting me on timeout. I'm going on strike as your son.
All right, Tony. If you're going to go on strike, first off, I need to make sure you've already gone on strike like 3 times this month, which is like entirely too much. We already had an agreement on that.
Well, I am like going against the agreement. I don't like the 3-strike mandate.
Tony, your mother and I decided the 3-strike mandate was for your protection, but also for the family's collective best interest as a whole.
Okay, and also, actually, I've gone on 3 strikes after talking to Mom. This is my first time talking to you, so I think it should be 3 strikes per parent.
If we're going to go on 3 strikes per parent, we're going to have to renegotiate. First of all, we're going to go back to no desserts except on weekends as an exchange for that, because you're killing me here.
That seems like an unproportional response.
Oh, you think that's an unproportional response?
Yeah, I mean, how can you deny me ice cream, Dad?
You are doubling the amount of strikes, young man. Doubling the amount of strikes. What? I'm still allowing you to have ice cream, cake, or popsicles.
I'm 9 years old. I think I'm entitled to double the amount of strikes that I am capable of.
You also think, in your entitled worldview, that you're entitled to dessert whenever you want. I think, if not only am I going to be reducing your amount of desserts, but guess what? You're not gonna get as many toys for Christmas.
Excuse me? Okay, my imaginary friend Stedman is whispering in my ear and telling me that I'm not going to stand for this, and I'm gonna pick it outside right now.
That's another thing. Stedman's off the payroll now. I'm firing him.
Excuse me? Oh, he's mad.
Stedman, pack up your imaginary stuff and hit the pavement.
He sneezed on you.
For the last time, I might add.
Oh, we're going outside. I'm making up the picket signs right now.
Yeah, this is the cool branch of government, right?
Well,
because I'm here to get a permit to take some illegal drugs.
Well, in my opinion, all the branches of government are cool. But
right on.
This is definitely the one where you get a permit for drugs.
That's great. That's great. I'm planning to go to a party this weekend, and I'd like to take some ecstasy. But I want to do it legally.
Of course, of course. Every responsible citizen should get a permit before they take copious amounts of ecstasy at parties where they maybe also combine it with other substances that they've also got legal permits for.
Well, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because what I've brought in my permit application is a list of all the substances that I have ever ingested or that I ever plan to ingest, and I thought that you could give me some kind of blanket permission based on that information.
Great. We can definitely make that happen to you, for you and to you.
Are you saying that you have illegal drugs here that I can take legally?
We have permits for them. That's the important part.
Yeah. No, I'm here for a permit. I have two forms of identification.
Great. You'll need two forms of identification.
I have it. Yeah.
The ability to sign a permit application.
10 fingers, 10 toes.
And just like a general love of government.
Listen, I wouldn't have come in this building if I didn't, you know, raise a hand and salute to the flag every morning.
We see that she's actually raising her foot.
You know, we got, like, a pretty loose three strikes policy, so, like, you know, the foot thing, it's close enough for me.
Oh, is that a strike? I'm sorry. Oh, man, what a day I've had. I bought new shoes, and, oh, they turned me away because they said I was buying gloves. I'm sorry.
Totally understand.
Hector Schrader and I joined a union. We formed a union.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And like, well, so going back to this whole issue of like integrity, mm-hmm. which is I think what we're talking about here. And I feel like there's also this like, there's sort of this like, you guys are talking about the small government people. I was thinking of like Lilliputians when you were saying that, but like small government people, meaning like people who are like, you know, hands off our, you know, like tax money or whatever, right, you know, right, like that kind of stuff. And I feel like there's this sort of like, we worked hard for it, right? Like this is ours. We worked hard for it, and therefore, you know, like, you know, government shouldn't get a hand up, and like other people should work hard. I feel like there's this sense that these people think that they have integrity, but other people don't have integrity.
Yeah, it's sort of like there's something about integrity that somehow involves implicit judgment. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if there's like this smugness that comes with it. I have integrity.
Yeah.
I'm a person of integrity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And because if you're not a person of integrity, you are your molecules in the atmosphere, right? You dissolve, right? Like,
right,
your
molecules with no coherence. You literally lack
you.
Integrity.
You lack integrity.
So, yeah, in a sense, tautologically, everyone has integrity.
Tautologically.
Yeah, we
yes.
all have, by the weak and strong force, integrity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, the what are the quirks? Well, I'm quirky, I know.
you're strange but charming.
Gulliver. Gulliver's big government, okay? We gotta go against Gulliver.
That's right. We represent the libertarians.
We represent the libertarians. The libertarians. The libertarians. We demand dessert.
We demand a later bedtime.
Ever since Gulliver got here, what have we been eating for dessert? Nothing.
Rocks.
Rocks. Dirt. Grass. Things are gonna change.
Change around here.
We're going to get copious amounts of ecstasy.
Copious amounts of ecstasy.
Copious amounts of ecstasy.
Hey, did someone call a meeting without inviting me?
You're not wanted here, Gulliver.
Excuse me? I'm the tallest person here. That means I'm automatically in charge. You can't talk to me like that. That's insubordination.
It's Stedman.
And so, yeah, I think you know, like, I think we're all agreed that, like, you know, like, integrity is basically a code word for smug judgment.
I've always found it very freeing to allow myself hypocrisy. It's made my life so much better. But I still do judge other people for being hypocrites.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. That's allowed us as hypocrites.
That's just my integrity and adhering to my hypocrisy principles.
Yeah. Great. Well, I think we're all agreed. Yeah?
Yeah, I think we're agreed.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, then that's the end of our first half. much. That was our first half.
We couldn't be here. We wouldn't be here if not for Endgames Improv.
That's right. Endgames Improv. They put shows on 6 nights a week. They have classes 5 days a week.
Sometimes that's gonna change. By the time you hear this, they might have classes 7 days a week. We don't know.
Wow.
You never know. I can't predict the future.
Really?
I can't.
Well, 7 days a week, that I feel like that requires a lot of teaching. Are you teaching?
I'm not teaching.
No.
So, okay. There was
5 days a week for that. Okay, great. But thank you to Endgames. You can check out endgamesimprov.com. To get us started, we're going to start our second half. To get us started, I think, Sridhar, will you ask...
an audience member? All right, I don't want to...
Another audience member.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, here's a question. If no audience members had shown up, would we have the integrity to still perform?
I say yes,
yes
but say yes, but do no.
Oh, okay. All right, well, would the audience member like to make another suggestion for our second half?
Sure. Spooky action at a distance.
Oh, because of quantum mechanics. Yeah, all right.
Distance. Well, that makes me think of Justin Trudeau.
What?
Prime Minister of Canada.
He is at a distance from
us. He is at a distance. He's spooky, but spookily charming.
Yes.
This I think there's this video that went, this viral video of him basically explaining quantum computing.
Oh, yeah, but the way it worked was he was fed the answer ahead of time and he was just repeating it.
Well, no, I agree with Hector on this because there's the idea of, like, how much of everything that we're all fed information.
All right.
We're all fed information.
Let me also say
from a distance.
Yeah, but the other thing is he was doing it to evade a question about military involvement of Canada. So it was like
a... Which is spooky.
I'm just saying, he always gets all this praise for all this bullshit, and he's actually not that progressive a guy or anything, but he has this charming, like, media presence.
So in some sense, I feel like everyone has some sort of expectation. And part of it is the fact that he's got this, like, you know, beautiful face and, like, you know, chiseled yoga Pilates physique. You know, like, we all assume that he's, like, we basically...
Justin Trudeau is hot.
Yeah, look, we all want Justin Trudeau. I'm not denying that we
all...
Yeah,
and so, like, the fact we want to justify the fact that we all want Justin Trudeau with the fact that he's, like, this amazing specimen of a progressive human being.
Of a man. No, not of a progressive human being. No, just of, like, a sex machine, that's all.
But it's the same thing that I feel like that Jared Kushner, that he has also had the same sort of, like... This like thing endowed on him as like, oh, he's a genius.
Yeah, look, so basically the idea is people's looks are getting them power, right?
Yeah.
Getting them respect.
For men.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
Women, I think the opposite.
You're right, it's true. For women there is
everyone shits on
him. That's right, it's true, yeah.
Yeah, your beauty got you this far, not your
all these people. Exactly, and they're all hypocrites about it too, right? Because people would never on their own party or whoever's ideologically aligned with them would never shit on a woman the way they shit on women of the other party, you know?
Yeah, this is something that really...
I want to point out that, excuses for our expletives, our vulgar language, but the fact that the president has allowed...
The fact that the president says shithole
means now that Sridhar can say that word.
I actually held myself back because I wanted to say, listen, we're all in agreement, we all want Justin Trudeau's hot cock, but, you know... is the juicy member, but now that the president says shithole, we can say this, right?
Yeah, of course,
absolutely, yeah.
I got sidetracked.
Hector can't stop.
But let's get back to
you. You know the thing Justin Trudeau did that's the one thing that I enjoyed seeing him do is he has this, like, party trick he likes to do where he falls downstairs and pretends to get hurt and he does it to surprise guests. I'm not making this up, it's a real thing. Like, he'll invite friends to his house and then he'll be like, oh, I'm gonna go to the basement and get something. You want anything to drink? And then he'll fall down mid-sentence and they'll be like, oh my god, are you hurt?
So this reminds me of, there was this moment where I was hanging out with our friend Avi. And it was actually on stage at an improv show. That's where we were hanging out.
Okay. You were performing with your friend.
We were performing with my friend Avi. And he had never told me that he's like a master of the pratfall. So he kept doing trust falls this entire set that we were in. And I kept not catching him. And I just felt terrible at the end. He's like, no, I can pratfall. So he told me that backstage afterwards.
Mr. Trudeau, I know I'm just a simple hunchback, but I hope to be in politics like you. You think I can do it?
No, and I'm going to tell you why.
What?
Look at this face.
I know, you're beautiful.
That's 100% the reason that I'm president.
Oh, but I have inner beauty. That's what Frollo tells me.
And that's great if you want to be a novelist. But, you know, if you want to... You don't even understand how much you're on camera as president, pretty much 100% of the time.
Well, I have great ideas. I figure if the ideas are accepted by the people, they can look past my horrible looks and physique and get behind me.
That's...
Get on my hump, so to speak.
That's very clever. You're obviously very clever. Maybe you
Thank
could
you.
Be a Secretary of State or something.
Oh, I mean, everyone needs to start somewhere. I just want to be in politics.
No, that's the ceiling for you, absolutely. Oh, Secretary of State, I'm sorry. Look, I don't even know anything about politics. Maybe I can hire you.
Oh, that would be swell, Mr. Trudeau. I mean, I could be the man behind the curtain, so to speak.
That's right. All attractive presidents have a man behind the curtain.
Oh.
Or a lady behind the curtain who tells...
Hey, look, Ms. Hooper, I know I've missed about 2 weeks worth of work, but as an explanation, I want to show you this photograph. You see this photograph?
Yeah.
It's the beagle I'm looking to adopt. Look at this picture. Wouldn't it be cool if I had this beagle?
Oh my God.
Think I'd name him Sparky and, you know, keep him around my house.
Oh, he's so beautiful.
You think so?
Yes. Yes. Take as much time off from work as you need to make this beautiful beast happy.
Awesome.
I can't look away.
Okay, I will do that. Just keep your eyes on this photo here.
Yeah,
I'll just like set it right down here on your desk.
Oh, hi, Sparky it is.
Also, it's Sparky. It's going to be Sparky.
Sparky's going to supervise my day, I can just tell. Oh, you know what? I have a little treat for Sparky.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Is it a raise?
Not for Sparky. He doesn't need the money.
No, Sparky doesn't need the money, but I bet his owner does if he's going to get him some really nice food.
Oh, he does look like he could use really good food for that glistening coat. You need more money for dog food?
I do. Got to keep that coat, like, really nice and shiny once I adopt him, of course.
Clearly, he's a dog that has to eat steak.
And clearly not just a photo I found online.
So beautiful.
Isn't he?
Oh, my God.
There's a visible watermark on the photo.
God, it's like he's looking inside me and seeing something that I could become.
That is the kind of dog that would look inside your soul. I tell you what.
Yeah.
When or if I adopt him, I will be sure to bring him to the office.
You would?
I would.
You would bring Sparky
here? I'd bring
here?
Little Sparky, especially if I got, like, moved into a corner office away from the street so it wouldn't interrupt him when he's having his little puppy naps.
Just hold for 1 second. Darlene.
Yes.
I am going to need you to start placing an order for the most beautiful velvet dog bed that you can find. It's going to live in the corner of our office. So
and a
Sparky
matching
comes,
office chair.
To Amazon.
So
I guess, yeah, looks have a lot to do with other qualities in Jeffy. We have these false correlates between the appearance.
Right. Yeah, I think what we do is like we project things onto it. You know, like going back to the spooky action, and quantum mechanics and quantum computing, all these things. There's an issue of uncertainty that human beings are not comfortable with. Human beings are not comfortable with uncertainty, and so we like to project onto blank spaces. We like to project our fears and our hopes. And so, like, on beautiful things, or at least, things that society has conditioned us to believe beautiful, we project our positive hopes and feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I think we may...
Just like I believe that Jared Kushner As beautiful as he is, I feel like he's like...
Look, we all want Jared Kushner's hot cock. No one is denying that.
Everyone thinks, like, Jared Kushner's gonna turn around one second and be like, guess what, guys? I'm on your side. You know, like...
What? Who thinks that?
But deep down inside, I believe that the human, like, I believe that America, deep down inside, the American left is hoping, they're waiting, that Jared Kushner, as beautiful as he is going to be like, guys, guess what? I've been playing the long game. I'm on your side.
Yeah. I mean, that would be nice. I definitely do not expect that.
But in some ways, though, I mean, like, you know, like...
But that Jared Kushner and Justin Trudeau share another thing, right? I mean, more so with Justin Trudeau, perhaps. Oh, I don't know. But Justin Trudeau, everybody that I run into is charmed with him because of his looks, but he got into politics also because of nepotism, right?
Yes.
Because his father was Pierre Trudeau.
Yes, beautiful fathers.
Look, we all want our father's hot cock. Nobody is denying that. But... and, you know, nepotism is a tricky thing because you don't want the world to run on nepotism, I guess. But then on the other hand, the world where people don't help out their family and friends is even more horrific, right?
Well, I think the problem here is government. Government, especially the American government, which is specifically in revolt to tyranny, to the fact that, you know, that lineage was passed down from father to son specifically for generations in England. Like America, the principle of America is that we are not bound by this sort of patrilineal lineage.
And yet we are, totally are, right?
Absolutely.
Bush 1, Bush 2.
Yeah, exactly. And people keep wanting Chelsea Clinton to get into politics and stuff. And of course Hillary was only in politics because of Bill, really. I mean, I guess, I don't know, people don't like when you say that. But it's absolutely true that family dynasties are a big part of American politics. Yeah.
There was a show called Dynasty.
That wasn't about...
JR.
Yeah.
It's me, the human embodiment of climate change. I have some shocking information for you.
I've been looking for you for years. What is it?
I've been on your side this whole time.
No!
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me!
It's true. It's true. I was just trying to make things a little bit more interesting, a little bit warmer.
Oh.
I've been doing this for you, man. Oh. I'm not the enemy.
Oh, this is changing my whole outlook. Oh, my goodness. So that means that I don't have to wear sunscreen every day?
You do what you want, man.
Yes!
You can quit your job as a leading climate scientist.
Oh,
I've got it covered.
This job has been so boring and irritating. This is a dream come true. Thank you, human embodiment of climate change.
You're welcome. Oh, I don't know why I waited so long to tell anyone.
I mean, I just...
Everyone was vilifying me for years.
You just were waiting for your right moment, I'm sure. I mean, it's got to be tough to, like, expose yourself into the public eye like that.
Yeah, I got used to it, you know? I got used to playing a certain part. It's like when people just start seeing you a certain way, you just kind of become that way. And then this morning I woke up and I was like, no, I'm not that human embodiment. I'm different.
Yeah.
I got to tell them.
Yeah, you say I should just do me, you need to do you.
That's right. That's right. I let the press caricature me. I let the people tell me I was a certain way. But I have been on your side since the beginning.
This is amazing. This is the greatest day of my scientific career.
And I'm just glad to have my first friend. Bob. It is Bob, isn't it?
For you, it is.
Hey, Jared, it's Leo. Some of us really good-looking guys were at the club the other day, and we were just, you know, talking about democratic politics and its virtues. We were, I don't know, hoping you might come on by.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
I don't know what you mean.
Look, it's not like it's the first time that I've had a lot of people come up to me and be like, hey, come on over to the left, come on over, come on over. We know you're one of us. You know what?
What?
Maybe I am.
Dude, you totally are. Look at that smooth skin. Who does your hair?
Well, I'll tell you something. Whoever uses, does my hair, the shampoo they use, probably wasn't tested on animals.
See, I knew it.
Why you gotta be so cagey? Just because you married into that family cup?
Right, you know, it's just business. Maybe I'm working them from the inside.
Look, you can bring Ivanka. I know she's very good looking, too.
Oh, yeah, she's probably like, you know what? I saw her actually riding a hybrid the other day.
I knew it!
That's right.
Look, why don't you drive your lefty pinko hybrid down to the good-looking people's club and just come in for a beer. We know you're one of us.
Maybe I'll come on down. Maybe, yeah. I'll come on down, have a beer. Probably something like made in small batches where they pay people a livable wage, too. That would be the kind of beer I would love to drink.
I knew it, Jared. Now, you're not going to be wearing a wire, are you?
I would never wear a wire, but if I did, it would be made in the United States and not under poor, shoddy labor practices that were exported overseas.
Wait, I'm not sure which end of the political spectrum that you
I
represent.
Know. It's so confusing, isn't it?
You dirty dog.
So I think like part of the reason we have this we've sort of taken on that sort of feudalistic tendency of you know, passing, it's wealth is what we're passing down. We're passing down wealth, the wealth that's accumulated. Right. We're using that to pass it to the next generation so that they have capital to continue to extend that wealth. And then, of course, as you build wealth, you can affect government to sort of like grow that wealth and therefore contribute to the disparity, right?
Yeah, and I think there's like the wealth is in a sense metaphoric, in addition to just sort of like the like tangible like money or currency, because mm-hmm. there's so much of like experience or opportunity that doesn't necessarily reach like result in like immediate financial gain, but can also kind of cause. We are getting distracted right now.
No.
by the volume.
Your volume is fine.
Okay. I guess there's the idea of material wealth, but there's also sort of like wealth of experience, just being like exposed,
right,
and enculturated into ideas or being enculturated into experience. Just imagine like a diplomat is sort of in like in the home or like experiencing like the life of diplomatic conversation, they're understanding like that world. They're sort of like gaining through.
Are you, Chris? Are you saying all wealthy people are diplomats?
Are you saying, or I'm not entirely sure what you're saying, but it sounds like you're saying maybe wealthy people are better positioned to rule the rest of us.
I think what I'm saying is that, like, I'm saying that people are passing down. Like, they're different.
They're acculturated. They're acclimated to that sort of.
I'd say people are passing down a lot with. In addition to the financial,
well, so
I'm thinking about my first internship was at AT&T. My dad worked at AT&T, and
as
I
did
got
my
a,
parents.
Yes, and I got experience through that. I didn't get a lot of money through that, but I got experience, and that helped me get other jobs.
Right. Yeah. That is part of how nepotism functions.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
You kind of learn the club rules of the society.
Yeah, well, this reminds me of this other thing that friends and I were talking about, was this idea of, like, legacy. You know, like, you go to a school, particularly, like, expensive private schools, they ask you about your legacy. They say, like, any of your relatives, siblings, parents have attended the school, and for some reason that will sort of help you in your acceptance into the school.
Yeah. You know what always annoys me is, now I'm going to just try to put the volume. You know what always annoys me is people talk about restructuring things so that it's a very, we had to, like, the wrong people are getting into, you know, the Ivy Leagues. It's too many legacies, this and that. We have to make it so that there's a good broad spectrum of people getting into the Ivy Leagues. But they're still adopting the mindset that only some small group of people should get to have comfortable lives. We just have to pick that small group the right way.
Yeah.
But
you know what? My mom went to first grade here at Shepherdson Elementary, so hey, why don't you hook me up?
We like to adopt a more inclusive approach. Did your dad also go here?
My dad also went here.
You're in.
Yes.
I love Justin's hot cock.
cock.
I think all world leaders have hot cocks.
Yeah, and which Justin are you referring to? Trudeau or Kushner? No, that's Jared. Fuck!
I would include Timberlake in that statement.
Ah.
Timber cock. Jared Cockner.
Ryan Goscock.
Justin Trudeau.
Leah Cocko de Cocky Cock.
Michael Dukakis.
Army Hammer.
Jared Fogle. No.
No. No. No.
No.
No.
No.
Not that cock.
I think if there's one truism of American politics is that obviously any sort of reference to pedophilia
is disqualifying. Like for Roy Moore, no, it's actually not a truism.
Yeah, but he almost didn't. So
yeah, he very nearly didn't win, but then he won, despite being a confirmed pedophile.
Yeah, no, he lost.
Oh no, you're right. He very nearly won. You're right. Sorry.
So I mean, like, I think we can all agree that, like, you know, we are. You know, we are hypocrites because we find nepotism to be unjust, and yet we benefit from it. And we all think Justin Trudeau has a hot cock.
Yeah.
All right. And that's our second.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So
as we mentioned,
we are leaving this final part open to a Q&A. We have mics up here, so if anyone wants to come up and speak into a mic.
And we forgot to mention that the room has filled up since.
Yes.
There's so many people.
Bustling right now. So if there's anyone, you don't have to, but like also don't be shy.
Think of this like truth or dare. You can ask any of us any question you want. Have you ever wanted to play truth or dare, but like minus the dare?
I had a question.
Oh yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I think I heard what Sreedhar and Hector's opinions on the cock was. Krish, what's yours?
It's amazing.
There we go.
All right. Any other questions from this audience?
Sorry. Hi. First time listener, long time caller. yes. I wanted to know just when you said it's amazing. Like, what do you mean? Like, can you be a little more descriptive, Krish?
Is he circumcised?
Why do all of our audience members have such low voices?
I'm imagining it. So it's a figment of my imagination. I imagine it would be. Terrifically
girthy.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Oh, good. Yes. You there.
Yes. I was wondering, whatever happened to that hunchback? He seemed to have a very sad life, and I felt sorry for him.
Did you ask for me?
Oh, you're here!
Yeah.
Oh, I'm your biggest fan.
Oh, thank you. Have you seen my animated movie?
No, but now I want to.
Oh, well, it came out in 1996. It should be
Shrek?
On Blu-ray.
You're Shrek!
This
you're
happens Shrek! All the time!
I'm impressed you got the year correct.
Any other questions?
I have a question for Sreedhar.
More of this shit.
That's kind of where my question is. What do you have against people with deep voices?
Nothing. It's just they dominate our society. There's just no room in our society for people with high voices to reach positions of power.
You think that high voices means low positions of power and low voices means high position of power?
Yeah, it's this crazy topsy-turvy world we live in.
I'm a barista.
Do you mean a baritone?
Yes.
Wait, do you mean like a barista or a barrister?
A barista. Mm-hmm. I serve coffee. Rich, wholesome coffee.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not saying everyone with a low voice is in a position of power. Just like not all white men are in positions of power.
But most positions of power go to people with low voices.
I find it happens with taller people.
That
they
too.
Get positions of power.
I've noticed a correlation between larger men and lower voices.
I'm 5 foot
you,
seven.
What?
It looks like there's another question.
Yeah, yes.
I don't actually have a question, but I do have a high voice.
I appreciate this. More of you should emulate her.
Thank you.
Well, if there's no other questions from the audience.
Well, we want to thank our cast of improvisers. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Would you guys kindly remind us where we can catch you daily and weekly?
Performing,
yes.
Hi, I'm Joshua. I perform weekly at 10:30 p.m. Saturday nights at San Francisco Tonight, and first and third Mondays of the month, 10 p.m. StageWorks Donut Death March Herald team. Thank you.
This is Andy. I'm also in the Donut Death March show, and second and fourth Thursdays now at 8 o'clock, it's daytime talk at night at StageWorks. Josh is in that too.
I'm Kat. I'm in the Zipper Dipper Divination Intervention Show. So if you're interested in having your tarot read, that is the second and fourth Wednesday of the month. And also Fucked Up Relationships at 10:30 on Fridays.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I'm in It's Lit with Damn It Carol. We perform every first and third Thursday? Yes. We just moved the show. It's an improvised book club, and it's really fun.
Hi, I'm Quasimodo. I perform every second month of the year. That's so every day in February. I'm just on a street corner. I'm ringing bells a lot. Please give me money.
Thank you. That's our improvisers. This is going to come out sometime in near February. So, but like, hopefully you guys caught them at Sketchfest, which is happening now.
Absolutely.
But yeah, well, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, and thank you to Endgames.
Thank you to Endgames. Thank you to our lovely audience.
Thank you.
The scabs. The scabs in the audience.
And thank you to Shreether.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And thank you to Jared Fogle.
Yep, thank him.
Yeah, no.